top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Tuesday, March 12, in the headlines. Concerned Citizens Movement Vice President Cesar Emmanuel sees parallels between the DLP regime's electoral reform strategy and the principles behind the Citizenship by Investment Program.
95DA.com.
United Nations expert Alice Jill Edwards urged nations to review their prison practices in order to meet human rights standards amid environmental challenges and future pandemic risk. And Russia is scheduled to conduct presidential elections between March 15th to 17th, where current President Vladimir Putin is widely expected to secure victory, barring any unforeseen events. Details coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Cesar Emmanuel, Vice President of the Concerned Citizens Movement, suggests that the Citizenship by Investment program is linked to electoral reform. He alleges that the DLP administration has repurposed principles from the CBI program for electoral reform. Despite promises to enact electoral reform, Emmanuel notes that years later, this has still not yet been done.
This whole CBI thing ties together with electoral reform. It's the same principle over and over and over again. We will promise what? After 100 days of two elections pass, what we would have? Electoral reform. It never happened. In Parliament, we were told that tabulations were going to be done and we would get a figure amount, an aggregate on how much money that we collected from the sales of papa. Never done. It hasn't been done. Here again, we're going into a commitment that was given to those who believe in those commitments. I do not believe in them. That in the first quarter of this year, we will have electoral information on electoral reform. Have you seen any vibes in that area yet? Any vibes? Have you seen any movement, any motion from Parliament, from Cabinet, from the President, from the Commissioner of the Electoral Commissioner, right, Duncan? Have you seen any movement indicating that things are taking place for us to get a vote or a report on whatever Byron submitted, whatever recommendations Byron submitted to the Dominican Labour Party?
And that was Cesar Emmanuel, Vice President of the Concerned Citizens Movement. President Sylvanie Burton delivered a 2024 Commonwealth Day message on behalf of King Charles III, marking her first time delivering the message as the President of Dominica. The message urged for reflection on the remarkable journey undertaken by the diverse Commonwealth countries since 1949. It emphasized that each milestone, such as the observance of independence by Commonwealth nations, signifies the realization of numerous aspirations and realization of remarkable potential by these countries.
This is the first time that I will, as President of the Commonwealth of Dominica, present the Commonwealth Day message on behalf of His Majesty King Charles III, head of the Commonwealth. It is indeed a great pleasure and honor to do so. His Majesty King Charles III's message to the Commonwealth reads as follows. The 75th anniversary of the Commonwealth is a moment to reflect on the remarkable journey that our unique family of free and independent nations has made since 1949. Last year, the Bahamas celebrated its 50th anniversary of independence, as Grenada has this year, and Papua New Guinea will next year. Each of these milestones and many others like them represent the fulfillment of countless aspirations and the achievement of such remarkable potential.
The message highlights the Commonwealth expansion, with new members showcasing a shared ambition for a better future despite differing histories. It emphasizes collaborative efforts among nations to promote progress.
Commonwealth's growth with new members continuing to join our family of nations demonstrates clearly that whilst we may not all have a shared history, we have common ambitions for a better future, working together to build resilience and respond to global challenges. The Commonwealth family is strongest when we are connected through friendship. As I have said before, the Commonwealth is like the wiring of a house and its people. Our energy and ideas are the current that runs through those wires. Together and individually, we are strengthened by sharing perspectives and experiences, and by offering and borrowing the myriad ways we have each tackled the challenges of our time.
President of Dominica, Her Excellency Sylvanie Burton. Head of the National Ozone Unit at the Ministry of Environment, Ms. Sophia Anslem-Larock, outlined the unit's responsibilities, including overseeing national programs to comply with the Montreal Protocol and tackle ozone-depleting substances. She emphasized Dominica's commitment as a signatory to the protocol and the government's dedication to securing funding for its initiatives.
The National Ozone Unit is a unit within the Ministry of Environment with a responsibility of managing national programs to comply with the Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer. The National Ozone Unit is led by the National Ozone Officer and a dedicated team who are in the driver's seat of the Montreal Protocol processes at a national level and are the focal points for implementing issues related to the protocol. The Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer is a well-established multilateral environmental agreement and consumption of ozone-depleting substances. As a signatory to the Montreal Protocol, Dominica is responsible for ensuring that the initiatives of the protocol are carried out. The government of Dominica, through the Ministry of Environment, has signed small-scale funded agreements with the Multilateral Fund to the Ozone Secretariat and the United Nations Environmental Program, securing funding for the implementation of projects which will advance the goals of the protocol.
Ms. Larock announced that the Ministry of Environment has secured 4 small-scale funding agreements amounting to $770,000. These agreements are anticipated to produce various outcomes, including the review and development of ozone legislation.
Currently, the Ministry has signed onto 4 small-scale funding agreements totaling $770,000. Which are expected to yield the following outcomes: review and development of ozone legislation, capacity enhancement of the refrigeration and air conditioning service sector, raise public awareness of the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol, strengthen Dominica's import and export licensing and quota system specifically regarding ozone depleting substances, phase out and reduction of the consumption of ozone depleting substances, and training of customs officers, brokers, refrigeration and air condition technicians, and importance of ozone depleting substances. The unit has been focused on its execution of its mandate and is actively ensuring that it produces the expected outcome. In 2023, the unit engaged legislative consultants who are currently tasked with the review and development of ozone legislation, as well as the ratification of the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol. Additionally, the unit has contributed to capacity building within the refrigeration and air conditioning sector by providing funding for 3 technicians, including a female technician, to participate in regional training opportunities throughout the year.
And that was Sophia Anslem-Larock, head of the National Ozone Unit in the Ministry of Environment. Executive Director of the National Development Foundation of Dominica, Cletus Joseph, announced that the organization, in collaboration with the World Wildlife Fund, is hosting Earth Hour for the fourth consecutive year. He emphasized NDFD's ongoing commitment to raising awareness and mobilizing the Dominican population concerning climate change and the chance to positively impact the environment.
This is the fourth year that we are leading in the hosting of Earth Hour in Dominica, and we are partnered with the WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, who is the global, the company who is leading global efforts in the observation of all. At NDFD, we remain committed to the mission of sensitization and mobilization of multinationals regarding climate change and the opportunity to do good for Mother Earth. And this year, our is scheduled for the 23rd of March, which is not Saturday coming, but the one after that, just to ensure that we get the time right and we do not get a little bit misled by when actually it is, and then you have an excuse to say, oh, I thought it was the other one. So it's not Saturday coming, but Saturday.
Joseph also noted that since 2017, NDFD has embarked on a journey to become a more environmentally friendly, conscious, and sustainable organization. This involves developing products that support the financing of technologies for both mitigating and adapting to environmental challenges.
You may ask, of what significance is the observation of Earth Hour to me? And that is where we want the rubber to hit the road, and we want you to understand that the little that you do can have a significant impact, not just in ensuring that there is more mobilization and awareness created for the effects that our activities are having, but there are opportunities that can be gained from using the hashtag Earth Hour and the hashtag sustainability and the hashtag green and the hashtag NDFD. At NDFD, over the years, starting in 2017, we decided to pursue a path towards being a more environmentally friendly and conscious and sustainable organization by developing products which will assist in financing mitigation and adaptation technologies. Soon after we made that decision in 2017, we were struck by one of the most devastating forces in our history. I don't know what to call it yet, but Mario and some members, badly. However, our partner then, the Inter-American Development Bank, soon after, did reach out somewhere in November and indicated that, look, if you guys are ready, we can help to fast-track your application to us, and you are getting a pre-approval to start the mobilization and to put your house in order to ensure that we get this project going.
And that was Executive Director of the National Development Foundation of Dominica, NDFD, Cletus Joseph. John Blanchard, the treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, highlighted that alongside the Dominican people's prolonged efforts for electoral reform spanning over 15 years, concerns regarding corruption, lack of accountability, and transparency persist. These issues have raised allegations of the possibility of misappropriation of billions from the country's treasury from the CBI program.
Now, besides our ongoing fight and struggle for electoral reform for over 15 years, the other major concerns in Dominica, to my mind, is that of corruption, lack of accountability and transparency, resulting in the possibility of missing $6.4 billion from the proceeds of passport sales. We also have the poor state of the economy, which have caused many businesses to close down and caused mass migration of citizens in search of a better life, not only to Europe and America, but also to neighboring countries like Antigua, Martinique, St. Martin, St. Kitts, St. Thomas. This country's economy seems to be doing much better than ours, so our people are flying across to save their sanity, yes, to save their sanity. Because if you remain here, you're giving a fool. You're giving a pet tattoo, you understand? The pressure is real.
Blanchard stated that he encountered several individuals who have immigrated from the country, citing the poor state of the economy as their primary reason for out-migration. He referenced a former parliamentary opposition leader Lennox Linton presentation in Parliament regarding the revenues generated from the country's CBI program.
Because I've heard persons spoke about their economic situation in terms of their debt and their loans and, you know, their small salaries and the commitments, and they had to run away. So they have to go up there to save their sanity. And that's no joking matter. That's a very serious thing. 2019-2020 budget debate in Parliament. The then leader of the opposition, Mr. Lennox Linton, presented Parliament with irrefutable evidence from the Gazette. That evidence could not be refuted, and that's a fact. And that was on revenue accrued from the sale of passports. He concluded that the budget was grossly misleading, pointing to the possibility that 1.2 billion was misappropriated from the Treasury, and that was at that time. Okay? Now, Mr. Linton and others did their calculations based on the number of passports that were sold. It was gazetted.
Concerned the Citizens Movement Treasurer, John Blanchard. In other news, in a report presented to the Human Rights Council, Alice Jill Edwards, the former UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, urged states to review prison management practices and policies to ensure compliance with human rights standards. This call came as countries grapple with the need to adapt to environmental challenges and the looming threat of future pandemics. Ms. Edwards says far too many people are imprisoned for too long in severely overcrowded facilities, adding that the link between poverty and incarceration is clear. People from disadvantaged or marginalized communities are far more likely to be imprisoned than other socioeconomic groups. Addressing persistent challenges in prison management and emerging issues like the climate change and future health pandemics, Ms. Edwards emphasized the need for strategic planning. She noted that prisons in almost every country faced significant challenges due to insufficient resources and staffing, resulting in unsafe and inhumane conditions. Ms. Edwards highlighted that many prisoners served long sentences in deplorable conditions with limited access to education or vocational skills. She stressed that the widespread neglect of prisons and prisoners had a significant social impact, excavating poverty and the likelihood of recidivism, ultimately failing to keep the public safe. And Russia will hold a presidential election between March 15th to 17th, which President Vladimir Putin appears certain to win, barring an unexpected development that will give the longest-serving Kremlin chief since Joseph Stalin another six-year term in power.
Russia is poised and Putin is almost certain to win. It will give the longest-serving Kremlin chief since Joseph Stalin another six-year term in power. So how will it work? Russia's elections are set to take place between the 15th and 17th of March. Results will follow shortly afterwards, and the winner will be inaugurated in May. Voting will also take place in what Russia calls its new territories, parts of Ukraine now controlled by Russian forces, which have been placed under Russian law. Ukraine says it will not rest until it has ejected every last Russian soldier from those annexed territories. There are 112.3 million people with the right to vote in the election. Almost 2 million people abroad can also participate, and 12,000 in a cosmodrome which Russia rents in Kazakhstan. Around 70 to 80 million people usually cast ballots. Turnout in 2018 was 67.5%. This year, a remote online voting system will also be available for the first time. Putin is running against communist Nikolai Kharitonov, Leonid Slutsky, leader of the Nationalist Liberal Democratic Party, and Vladislav Davankov of the New People Party. Boris Nadezhdin, an anti-war candidate, was barred from running, as was Yekaterina Duntsova, a former TV journalist. 71-year-old Putin, a former KGB lieutenant colonel, has already served as president for longer than any other Russian ruler since Joseph Stalin. The 1993 Russian constitution was seen by some in the West as a development that would lead to democracy in post-Soviet Russia. It originally specified that a president could only serve two terms of 4 years if they were back-to-back. But amendments in 2008 extended the presidential term to 6 years. And changes in 2020 formally reset Putin's own presidential term tally to zero from 2024, potentially allowing him to remain in power until 2036.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Concerned Citizens Movement Vice President Sisa Emmanuel sees parallels between the DLP regime's electoral reform strategy and the principles behind the Citizenship by Investment program.
The Big Station.
United Nations expert Alice Jill Edwards urged nations to review their prison practices in order to meet human rights standards amid environmental challenges and future pandemic risk. And Russia is scheduled to conduct a presidential election between March 15th to 17th.
When it happens.
Where current President Vladimir Putin is widely expected to secure victory. Barring any unforeseen events.
Q95DA.
I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.